is for me. Amen?
Amen.
I want to share with you, and I kind of just take a deep breath right now. We'll put some lights on, and I'm going to take you into the Word. But before I take you into the Word, I told you that the Lord gave me a couple of dreams. One that came the beginning of this week. I don't remember which day. It's not important which day. What is important is it came back this morning. And for some odd reason, the dream that came at the beginning of the week was quite lengthy. The one that came this morning was synopsized, shortened. So I'm just going to read to you what I wrote down at yesterday morning. I had a dream, and I found a silver coin.
Oh.
On one side of it looked like a silver dollar, but it has an emblem on it with black enamel or jewel and jewels. And it could have been a black onyx engraved or actually embedded in the silver. And there was, I would perceive diamonds all around. And it was an odd shape, because I could still see the part of the shape was probably what looked a little bit like the shape of Florida. So it was like an angle, or a banana, if you wish. It's odd shape, okay? And I find it and I slip it into my pocket. It has incredible value, millions.
Oh.
And I put a question mark, and I don't know how many millions, but it's with an S. And I said, Jesus, help. I have a sense it's the second time I have this dream. That was at 5 this morning. At 8:55. Excuse me, yesterday morning, 8:55 p.m., last night, after Holy Communion, I asked for forgiveness for my stealing this coin. And the Holy Spirit said, you did not steal it. You are taking it back. It was stolen from you.
Come on.
And now you are taking it back. And I had such a joy in my heart.
Jesus.
And I said, oh my God, I was blaming myself. See the pattern of blaming yourself, blaming yourself, blaming yourself. And I heard that coming from the whole body this morning. When are we going to stop? Amen? So I said, Holy Spirit, you will confirm with signs and wonders the word. Thank you. So now, I said to the Lord, I'm glad that the light exposes all darkness. Because you see, my mind was at work trying to put blame, and those thoughts were coming from where? 2 Corinthians 10 says, bind up every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Bind up every thought. It's 10 verse 5. 2 Corinthians 10:5. And I said, okay. He said, when are you going to stop letting your mind rule your spirit? Well, that's up to each individual, isn't it? See, when your mind is ruling, you are allowing your emotions to take you for a ride. And if it's a Holy Ghost ride, you're going to enjoy it. But if it's a demonic ride, you're going to learn by the fruit. You're going to learn by the results of what you've experienced. So I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to give to the body this morning? And this is what he said. Joel chapter 2. And he specified to start with verse 9. So I'm taking you to Joel chapter 2, and I'm using the Amplified because that was the press. Verse 9 says, they leap upon the city, they run upon the wall, they climb up,
come on,
and into the houses, they
yes.
enter in at the windows like a thief. There's my dream. I felt like a thief.
Mm-mm-mm.
Was I a thief?
No.
Holy Ghost said, no, you're taking back what was stolen from you. Mm. Obviously, the coin is worth millions. It's representative.
Ooh.
So I stress that reality. They enter in at the windows like a thief. Are they thieves? Who is Joel writing about? Let's look at verse 7. They run like mighty men.
Jesus.
They climb the walls like men of war.
Mm-mm.
War zone, girl.
Exactly.
Got it?
Yep.
They march everyone straight ahead on his ways, and they do not break their ranks. I watched the Holy Ghost using each one of you today. And every one of you had a piece to the puzzle, and it wasn't me preaching, it was you preaching to yourselves. Preaching from one another is what God intended out of the body of Christ, where every member has something to say to build the other one up. You say, well, I didn't talk today. You might next week if you open your mouth.
Come on.
If you ask the Holy Ghost, have I got something to share that will help my brother, that will help my sister? Not to sit on a pew and get warmed up and then go home and everything falls apart because you didn't participate.
You're preaching.
I'm telling you the truth.
Come on.
Okay? This army of God is no different than when we went into Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
We went in with a purpose and we came out with results. Children were killed in Syria. They were fumigated by gas. And there was instant results because we had a person in the White House that said, no more. I'm all done talking to you guys. You're not listening.
Mm-mm.
Hear me?
Yes.
And I'm not taking a political stand. I'm telling you, when people are killing each other and you have a way to stop it, it's for you to open your mouth. And it could be religious killings. Religious killings are happening in all kinds of places and in all kinds of churches. And I'm not accusing churches. I'm telling you, if somebody falls, they all pick on her or him or both. It's not the way Jesus acted. John chapter 4 shows you a woman who's had five husbands. And he says you need living water. What is that living water? It's the Holy Spirit. She needed the Holy Spirit to come back to life. She had fallen. Have you ever had anybody in your family fall?
Jesus.
Have you ever fallen? Yes. All of us fall. But God will bring somebody down that path of your life and help you come back up. That's what believers are supposed to do. That's what Jesus did. He went out of his way to go visit that woman. And he introduced himself to her, and she came back to life. He didn't sit by the wayside and said, oh man, you've had five husbands, forget it, you're hopeless, and throw them away. Did she go back to her husband? We don't know. She's living with number six. Did she marry him? We don't know. But she married the groom. She married Jesus. She became a part of the bride. So what I'm saying to you is, look at this word from the prophet Joel, who had his word confirmed in Acts chapter 2. Verse 1, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain, Mount Zion. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of judgment of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick mist and darkness, like the morning dawn spread upon a mountain. So there comes a people, numerous, mighty, the like of which has never been before, and shall not be again, even to the years of many generations. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yes, and none has escaped the ravages of the devouring hordes. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses. As war horses and horsemen, so do they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of the mountains, they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire devouring the stubble, like a mighty people set in battle array. Before them the peoples are in anguish, all faces become pale. They run like mighty men, they climb the walls like men of war, they march every one straight ahead on his ways, and they do not break their ranks, neither does one thrust another. They walk every one in his path, and they burst through and upon the weapons, yet they are not wounded and do not change their course. They leap upon the city, they run upon the walls, they climb up on the and into the houses, they enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble. The sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining. And the Lord utters his voice before his army. If you haven't got a circle around that corner, you better put one. This identifies us as his army. The Lord utters his voice before his army. For his host is very great, and they are strong and powerful, who execute God's words. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can endure it? Therefore also now, says the Lord, turn and keep on coming to me with all your heart, with fasting and with weeping and with mourning, until every hindrance is removed. Until every hindrance is removed, and the broken fellowship is
restored.
The broken fellowship is
restored.
Rend your hearts and not your garments, and return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. There's the nature of the Father. He is gracious and merciful. Slow to anger. Oh, how many Christians are slow to anger? And abounding in loving kindness. Woohoo! There's your word, my friend. Abounding in loving kindness. Meaning, stop judging the broken. They're broken because they've got a problem, and God is working with them to get them free. How did salvation come to you and me? Because somebody loved me enough to carry me when I was broken. Somebody picked me back up and said, come on, you can do this, I'll help you. Not using a baseball bat in the back of my head. Got it? Love never fails. 1 Corinthians. Verse 14. Who knows? But what he will turn, revoke your sentence of evil, and leave a blessing behind him, giving you the means for with which to serve him. Even a cereal or a meal offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Set apart a fast, a day of restraint and humility. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elderly. Wow. People, gather the children and the nursing infants. Let the bridegroom, who is legally exempt from attending, go forth from his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. None is exempt from the humiliation. Let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, "Have pity and spare your people, O Lord, and give not your heritage to reproach, that the heathen nations should rule over them or use a byword against them. Why should they say among the peoples, 'Where is their God?' Then was the Lord jealous for his land and had pity on his people. Yes, the Lord answered and said to his people, 'Behold, I am sending you grain and grape juice and oil, and you shall be satisfied with them, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen nations. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive it into the land barren and desolate, with its front towards the eastern Dead Sea, and with its rear towards the western Mediterranean Sea. And its stench shall come up, as had that of a decaying mass of locusts, symbolic of the forecast of the fate of the northern army in the final days of the Lord. And its foul odor shall come up, because the Lord will have destroyed the invaders. He has done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things.'" I want to kind of let you study the rest. I want to give you verse 32. "Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered and saved, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said. Among the remnant of survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls." You see, I think sometimes we have a picture in our minds of what God should or should not do, not only with Israel, but with every nation that has fallen away from God. Because we have many that have chosen to believe in God for a season, but as soon as hardships come, we walk away. "Well, I guess I'll serve another God, the one that supplies me with something I want. And I've lived there," questioning the reality of God's nature. And I think we all do that secretly in our hearts. Sometimes we don't speak it out loud, but we do live it. And when I was reading this morning and studying, he was reminding me that he never forgot Israel. He hasn't forgotten Israel. But who does St. Paul call to be Israelites? His believers. So he's actually taking the church and he's melting us to be more like them and helping them to become like us, one new creation. We have chosen years ago, when the Holy Spirit impacted my life, to honor the feasts of the Lord, to take time out for what he calls his feasts. And we could go on into that, but that's not the purpose of today's message. I believe the Holy Spirit is trying to say to all of us, we are part of an army. We are about to take back what was stolen from us and slip it into my pocket. And every time you forget who you are in Christ, you can go back and you can touch that coin. And I remember somebody delivering a coin to a woman that is sitting right next to me here. And I remembered that. Okay? And its worth is millions. It may not be something that you can hold on to in the natural, because you might not have a coin, but you might put one in there. And remind yourself, that dream was not just for me. That dream is for all of us. We are part of that army. We are not divided. We have one purpose, and that is to serve the Most High God. And when we come to that table, we come with one purpose. What is the purpose? To take the blood and participate with his flesh and blood. To go higher than we've ever been before. He doesn't want us to be falling for each other with critical eyes or critical towards ourselves, but to see ourselves as humble servants, willing to participate and intercede for one another as the Lord leads us. And I mean when as the Lord leads us. And the hardest place he'll lead you to is your favorite easy chair and say, shut up, pay attention, I'm about to give you instructions.
Help me.
I'm about to give you instructions. If you don't sit, you'll never get those instructions. If you keep on doing, you will just keep on getting worn out. And I mean that. You will keep on getting worn out. Are you tired of being tired?
Amen. Sick and tired of being sick and tired.
All right.
Come on.
So we change it, right? We make a decision today. Today, we are going to be a part of that army. And what's the first thing that's going to happen as the fruit of an army of God? The city will change. And the cities and the surrounding cities will change. Why? Go ahead.
So we're a purifying force.
We are a purifying force, and we are like horses, not afraid to go into the battle because we know who's with us. And we have a purpose. It's not to go off and fix it myself or fix them, whoever them happens to be. And your other mention about your two little niece, actually your other girls, I should say, that took care of the broken one. That is awesome, Gail.
Absolutely. My heart was just melted.
Yes. And you see, if we had had that kind of heritage, how would we have had a different lifestyle? When we got busted and somebody came and lifted us up, we would have not maybe made so many mistakes and gone around the stupid mountain. I call it stupid because it takes stupid to do it over and over and get the same results. Amen?
Amen.
I'm still running a few times.
Yeah, me too.
All right, it's time to get off that one, okay?
Yes.
So you can put your Bibles down. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
You're the reason I'm here.
You're the reason I'm here.
And I'm very nosy.
I want a lot more.
I want to know your ways.
I want to taste your goodness.
In the land of the living.
Not wait to be dead.
In the natural.
But maybe dead to my emotions.
Maybe dying to myself.
Will change my heart.
And make me a new creation.
Because Holy Spirit,
I'm not letting you off the hook.
I want you on full time.
Directing me.
Taking me.
Where I need to be and go.
Where you direct.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.